Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Direct Message with A Creative DC. We are live on Full Service Radio, broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. We're here live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. You can listen in anytime at fullserviceradio.org. And as always, I'm your host. I'm Morgan West, founder and director of the A Creative DC Project. So you've seen us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at A Creative DC. We promote creative community and creative economy across new media. We have a 1 million plus strong hashtag feed on social, meaning that when you scroll through the A Creative DC feed, you are accessing perspective on and from this city, from the people and projects who populate it digitally and IRL. So ultimately, this project, we work to shift perception of creative Washington, D.C., what that looks like, who's here. And we certainly, in just absolutely zero capacity, we could not do that alone. So we're here to amplify the content that's created by the community, the content that's going into that hashtag feed. And this podcast is just one of the ways in which we do that. So we also have a website that we really don't talk about all that often. We've hardly broached it here on the podcast, but acreativedc.com is an online resource, and it's another outlet for us to channel all of this amazing perspective and content through and on. So when you go to the homepage, Makita Solomon and Pammy Carroll, those two women do an amazing job of curating content every single day and every single week into featured galleries. And we also have kind of a menu bar tab situation at top that we're going to talk a little bit about today. So really, this episode is getting a little personal in the fact that we have no guest. I'm flying solo for the first time in 20 weeks, I think. Hey, thank you, Jack. Never truly flying solo. Jack Inslee in the booth. Greatest producer of all time. So this week, though, just me and Jack, I'm finding myself kind of very inspired by another Full Service Radio show. I just want to quickly shout out Kim Bryden. Her show, The Tidbit, is small business focused, and every once in a while, she'll throw in a mini-sode. So if you have not tuned into that, you know, go to the fullserviceradio.org homepage, look up shows. It's called The Tidbit. It is like just incredibly substantive information for business owners across like a whole spectrum of what's the art term? I'm like mediums, industry, across an entire spectrum of industry. But every once in a while, she'll have a mini-sode. Okay, so definitely listen to them. They're great resources for business owners. And I was thinking about her mini-sode format where she just kind of like breaks things down and has like a conversation with her listener, but it's just her, no guests. And I was like, you know what? That's brilliant. And this would be a great week to kind of shift gears and bring in some of the online elements of A Creative DC in podcast format. So here we are. It's just us, guys. One of our online resources is the A Creative DC Field Guide. So if you go to acreativedc.com, there's a drop down for them in the menu bar. There are collections of resources for the creative community. So the tagline for those is kind of like, whether you live here, work here, just visiting, they're little guides for exploring the creative community and creative economy. So we have like a roundup of independently owned retail shops. We have a roundup of co-working spaces and like kind of non-traditional co-working spaces that are all locally owned. So like you're not going to find, you know, Lord love a WeWork, but like you're not going to find that in there. We're more focused on like the Hive and, you know, places that are, you know, truly kind of DC centric. Today we're even shifting gears from that a little bit. Today we're putting together a field guide. We're doing it podcast style on Direct Message. This is one that I've been meaning to get around to forever, frankly. Actually, if you go to the tab right now, you can see that I've like, you know, I of course didn't give myself time to like clean up the website before I directed you all to it, but we actually have like a draft, like a password protected one in there. And I'm pulling that draft out. And today we are talking about how to get the word out. So this is the A Creative DC Field Guide to Getting the Word Out. What could I possibly mean by that? I love an obtuse, vague title for things. I can't help myself. But the Creative DC Field Guide to Getting the Word Out. I'm going to take the really long road here. I'm going to talk about why we're talking about this, and I'm going to back up like 12 years. And this is kind of, this is where it gets personal. It's just us today, guys. And Creative DC is just one of so many projects that I've had or kind of been part of over the last decade plus, the last like 15-ish years I've been in DC. And in 2006, I had Panda Head Blog. So Panda Head Blog, I started out as a blogger. When I kind of first moved to DC, I was spending all of my time reading street style blogs, and I was obsessed. If you guys have heard me speak, you've like inevitably heard this little anecdote, but I think of it as my, like, this is my stump speech. And this is the reason why I do so much of what I do, frankly. But I moved to DC and I'm like looking online all day long at street style blogs from around the world. So, you know, Face Hunter was in Paris and the Sartorialist was in New York and there was Stockholm street style and just so many basically kind of like access points to what that particular kind of niche of the creative community looked like, right? So like fashion and retail and style. And I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, and I was kind of, newly DC resident, and I was looking around and I'm just like, man, DC gets such a bad rap for style, and I just didn't get it. Like, I understand, even to this day, whatever, like, I get it, like, we are, you know, a huge, we have downtown and K Street, and like, that's fine, but really, when you look around DC, like, people have so much style here, and there's just, you know, I think my favorite thing about it is people, of course, you know, trends happen or whatever, but like truly DC is a place that's like more about style and like less about fashion. So like everybody's just kind of waking up and getting dressed to like make themselves happy. And that's something that I love to this day about DC. But, you know, back then I was like, why don't we have a street style blog? Like, there's so much happening here. Like, we're a global city. We deserve as much attention as Paris or New York or, you know, LA or Stockholm. And so, you know, ignorance being bliss, I was like, well, I'll just do it. Right. So I got a free blogger account because that's what everybody had back then. It was just like a free, you know, Google platform for your blog. So I started that, and I had like a horrible little point and shoot that I like barely knew how to hold, like let alone take a great photo. And I kind of mushed those ingredients together and I started Panda Head Blog. One of the big questions I get is like, where did Panda Head come from? The name, but there's not a good answer, but I'll tell you now, it is. And came from the baby panda fever, pandemonium, if you will, that happens that happens every once in a while in DC. Every, what, 5 or 6 years, the panda bear is like about to have babies and the nation goes insane. So that to me felt like a good name for like a DC style blog for whatever reason. And so there you have it. Panda Head Blog was born. I think it was like August of 2006. And I told you I was taking the long road, but we're taking the long and winding road to why today we are talking about the Creative DC Field Guide to Getting the Word Out, because that is kind of what I had to do with this blog. So I started the blog and I was taking photos and I was posting photos. And one day I'm like reading the Washington Post. It's probably just a couple weeks after I started it in 2006. And there was a brand new style writer. She had, you know, kind of this like amazing journalist pedigree. She, fashion journalist pedigree. She worked for Teen Vogue. She worked for Vogue and then like went to Teen Vogue with Amy Astley when that first started. Her name was Suzanne D'Amato. And I really just to this day, I'm still so grateful for everything that she kind of, you know, she set me on a path. And the way she did that was by writing her very first piece for the Washington Post style section. And she said, you know, newly minted in DC, she stepped off the train at Union Station. And, you know, I'm doing some wild ass paraphrasing here, but, you know, basically she was like, and it just, everything I'd heard about DC style being boring was just like proven true to her in like the first 10 minutes of being in DC. And I was so incensed. And I think everyone was incensed, you know, like, who is this woman coming from New York and telling us this? You know, you've been here for 10 minutes, like, you can't make this decree. And so, you know, you can imagine kind of like the letters that were sent. And the next week or maybe the following week, she published some of them. And she published some that like totally agreed with her. and she published some letters and emails that she got where people were, again, incensed. And she ended her article by saying that the most interesting response to her piece that she got was, and I quote, in the form of a single URL, www.pandahead.blogspot.com. And that was my URL. That was how you could access Pandahead back in the day. And the single URL that she received, I just want to tell you guys, like, she legitimately only got that URL. So, like, I just had no idea how to promote my project. I had no idea how to do it effectively. But basically, I wrote this woman who had all of the audience in DC. I cut and pasted it into the email body. I don't even think that I had like an email title, and I just like sent it off, and I thought that was okay. And to a certain extent, it like was right because she read it. But she, you know, she's somebody who used her platform to kind of share what I was doing. And I mean, I can't even tell you what happens to you when your project gets written up in the Washington Post. I mean, all of a sudden I had this really wide kind of like citywide readership that I did not have before. And then, you know, I will say like having readership kind of gives you like a little bit more of a sense of responsibility. And so I ended up, you know, and it, things got better because I knew that people were looking, and that's, you know, that's not the main reason things get better. But I will say all of this to say that I basically was one, you know, 12 seconds into my creative career. I sent this woman an email. I got, you know, I got a response. And that just like cemented it for me. You need to tell people about what you're doing. And there are way more effective ways of doing that than kind of just sending off a URL into the night. So that is my like long, long and winding road to the A Creative DC Field Guide to getting the word out. This is actually a piece that I wrote for my blog. I don't even know how long ago at this point, probably like 6 years. 5 or 6 years ago. But at that point I was, you know, full-time freelance, you know, it was like all about, I don't want to say like all about the hustle, but it really was like, okay, all right, we put out a new issue at the magazine and now we need to tell people. And so I would have these kind of like press days where I would like send out emails and basically just be like, hey, I just want to let you know what I'm doing. And, you know, I really do kind of credit putting a system in place for these things to a lot of the growth that I've had in my personal creative career. So this is it. We're getting started. This A Creative DC Field Guide to Getting the Word Out. It tackles promotion. So basically, you need to tell people about your creative endeavor because, you know, whether you're like releasing a zine or announcing a partnership or you've got a big collaboration, it's really nice to let people in on the secret, right? Because if you're not telling people, then it is a secret. And chances are, you know, this is, there are so many wildly talented PR people in the city. And I just want to like, before I even get too deep into this, I just want to say like, I'm not a PR person, but I'm also somebody who never had a budget for a PR person. So I did kind of, you know, the onus was on me to kind of get the word out. So if you have a budget, my word, please enlist a professional. But if you don't, there's absolutely some kind of rock solid steps you can take to sharing your information. You know, alerting the media, it was something I had like zero idea how to tackle when I was first starting out. And truly, it is actually something that there's still such a place for. So as silly as that sounds, I know that like we all have our social media channels in this day and age, in 2018, we all have social media, you know, announcing something on Instagram, you know, putting a link to something on Twitter, having something on your blog is like a huge part of kind of rolling things out. But I, you know, I'm kind of old school in the fact that like, I just don't think there's ever going to be a substitute for like, it, you know, it doesn't need to be a press release, but there's no substitute for kind of personally emailing someone and inviting them to see what you've been working on, whether that's, you know, digitally or like an actual invitation. And that's what this is all about. So before we jump into it, because I've now been speaking just me for 13 minutes and it's time to take a little break. If you're just joining us, my name is Morgan H. West. I'm founder of the A Creative DC Project and founder of the now defunct Pandahead Street Style blog. You're listening to Direct Message with A Creative DC. When we come back, we're going to dive into spreading the word about your creative projects.
All the music on today's show produced by Kiedo. That's K-I-E-D-O. Find his work on SoundCloud. We'll be right back with Direct Message. Keep it locked.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Direct Message with A Creative DC. We have a very special episode this week where sans guest is just me, Morgan West. I am founder and director. Jack, thank you. Again, we're never truly alone here at Full Service Radio. But today we're getting a little personal and we're talking about how to spread the word about your creative project. So, you know, we're not talking straight up press releases here. We're just talking about, you know, this is kind of, I'm just going to say it. This is like an email. It's kind of like the grown up version of sliding into somebody's DMs and kind of being like, yo, check out my project. This is like kind of the businessy, but still like personable way to spread the word, to get the word out about your creative project. So if you're just joining us before the break, we were talking about how I had to learn this over, now almost 15 years of kind of, personal projects and passion projects and figuring out the best way to kind of get eyes on them. So these are kind of tried and true truths, for lack of a better whatever. Just things that I have learned that I am like very excited to share in this audio field guide from A Creative DC. All right, so guys, I've broken this down into a couple parts, and I think the most relevant and most likely first question is, where do I even start? So, you know, if you want to spread the word, you just really need to get the word down on paper. Okay, so that's the first part. So start by writing a very clear and very concise description of what you're trying to promote. So where do I even start? Are you releasing a lookbook? Are you throwing an event 2 Wednesdays from now? Are you launching a new website? So basically, make sure you include all of the relevant details, all of the links that someone might need to write a cohesive little blurb on the subject. So I've sent these out before and people will legitimately just like cut and paste and stick into like their newsletter or to their website or to a roundup. Basically, you just want to give someone something that they don't have to translate if they don't have time to do it. You really want to keep it brief and as confusion-free as possible, so you don't necessarily, these emails are not necessarily, you don't have to dive into like the ins and outs and we talked about taking this on a journey. You don't need to talk about the 12 years kind of like leading up to this project. This is really about getting to like the core of the information. If anybody wants background or more details, they will have your email address after you send this to them, and they will get in touch. And so, you definitely please, like when you're writing this, when you're drafting this, like have as much of your voice in there as you would like, but just give the people what they want, like really boil down the information. And so that is where you start when you're spreading the word on the project, is get it down on paper, make it clear and concise, and just make it something that no one has to translate. So next up, who do you even send this information to? You've got it all down, you've drafted it, you've made it kind of sound, you've run it past a couple people, right? It all makes sense. Who do you send it to? So this is such a relevant question. And I talked to people who, writers and freelance journalists, and, the big thing is everybody has a beat, right? So what kind of website or publication features the kind of information that you're trying to pass along? So this is like your little research part, and who writes those pieces. So basically, if you know that you are throwing like an art opening, let's say you're hosting an art opening of your work, Pink Line Project in Washington, D.C. is like a great newsletter. And that's something that comes to mind that would be like a great fit for this. Would the Young and Hungry blog, would that on Washington City Paper, would that make sense for your art opening? No, because she writes about food. So really, it sounds so silly, but you just want to make sure these are like super targeted, because it's just you want to build good relationships with people, with press, and you want to make sure that they know that you pay attention to what they're doing, and in turn, hopefully then they will pay attention to what you are doing. So the first thing you need to do is really drill down into what kind of website and publication features the kind of info that you're trying to pass along. You can go to the byline and see who's written those pieces. General contact info is always there. Most sites have like direct emails for their writers and editors. But honestly, if you can't find that stuff, if you're just kind of starting out and you're like spreading the word and you don't have a ton of press contacts, like you're going to be filling out a lot of forms. You're going to be sending them to like the info at and tips at addresses. And that is totally fine. And just be okay with that because it's not going to last forever. If you're putting out good content, if you're like giving good, relevant information to writers, then people are going to respond and you can start kind of building your database. So like I'm the biggest fan of a spreadsheet. I like love a media spreadsheet. Absolutely start one. I keep a running list of outlets and contacts and bloggers, including what each person and each entity covers. And again, like a lot of projects have crossover appeal, but you really just don't waste anybody's time. Think of it that way. You don't want to waste anyone's time with information about something that is way off their beat. So that's who you send it to. You've boiled down your information. You figured out exactly who the right people and publications are to send it to. The next step is make it appealing. Okay, so this is something that like, this is really kind of where you are. This is your differentiator, right? Okay, so like anybody can send out a cold ass press release that is like attached and like it's in PDF format or Word and like whatever, but if you really want to make it appealing, preface your clear and concise description. Preface this email with a hello. And if you are kind of like cold calling people, like let's say you've got a new project, and you found like a bunch of, you know, email addresses online, like keep in mind that you're writing to a person, and you are a person. And so you can both be people. You don't have to be a PR. You don't have to be like a, this doesn't need to be like a PR robot situation. This is like, you're not, there's no like format that like really you need to stick to. Like you can be a person and write to the person. So preface your clear and concise description with a hello and a brief introduction, or just a hello if you know the person before, and then quickly mention just like very big picture why you're writing. So again, like nobody expects you to be, you know, a $1 trillion PR company. The phrase for immediate release, right? Like I have never used that in one of my emails. That's not saying that you shouldn't, but I'm just saying that you don't have to. But that said, you do need to be professional. So another part of making it appealing is like triple checking that everything is spelled right, that your grammar is unlocked. Readability is like key. I don't send an email without making sure that it is readable. By that I mean like format the body into short paragraphs, make sure there's spaces between everything, attach a few visuals or embed them in the body of the email, make sure that they are a large enough size so that they can be used for web. You know, like one publication, you know, Washingtonian does a lot of, they put out a lot of blog content. They use a really large photo, or at least they did for a while. I'm actually not even sure if they... I'm not sure what their photo size is right now. But like they used to put out like a significantly larger width photo than a lot of other publications would, a lot of other online publications. So really like do your research, make sure you're giving people stuff that they can use, because if somebody's, you know, photo width on the website is 1200 pixels and you're sending them a 500 pixel photo, like you're just not setting yourself up for success. So make it appealing. So what next? What next? This is the hard part. I don't like saying this stuff out loud, but what next? It's about managing your expectation. That's the part that's next. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I just mean that the point of kind of alerting the media, the point of sending these out, frankly, it's counterintuitive, but it is not, the point is not to get a write-up. Okay. So like that is like a super mega added bonus. That's fantastic. But the point of sending these out is to give a heads up to the people whose job it is to be in the know. It's letting them know like, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, and this is what's going on. It's so hard, I don't wanna say it, but nobody unfortunately owes you press space. And that's a hard thing to get right with. And that's something that was like always in the beginning, I'd be like, well, I don't understand, this is like a perfect fit. But you know, if someone can fit it into their post or their print schedule, that is amazing. And truly, like, lucky you, because really think about how many of these emails they're getting per day. Hopefully, like, you know, you've been able to really boil things down and give them something really clean and concise that they can use. You know, you've made it appealing. You have, you know, you've been personable. But unfortunately, nobody owes you a response, no matter how readable and lovely your email is. I always encourage people to circle around, you know, give somebody a reasonable amount of time from, you know, opening your email before you kind of circle around, especially if an event, you know, make sure you're sending things out with plenty of time for them to work it into their schedule. I go back and forth on like whether you should circle back and for general announcements, like you don't, you know, if I'm like, hey, whatever, if it's not an event, if it's not like timely, like I may not be like, hey, I just want to make sure you got my email. Like really, again, it's just like you want to form good relationships. You don't want to be annoying. But, you know, on time sensitive things, it's less annoying to kind of like follow up. And I hate that I'm using the word annoying here. I'm sorry. But ultimately, like all of this to say, you really want to manage your expectations when you are sending press emails out. Really, ultimately, I always just try to assume that the internet has done its job. The email got there, the email was read, and you're on the radar. And then now you're kind of free to move on and promote your next project. So lastly, I kind of want to just like end with an et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Despite your best efforts, like you're going to send out a typo every now and again, and it's not the end of the world. Like generally, I don't draw attention to it. Just ignore it. Again, I wrote this a while ago. Ignore it. Take a nap, right? That's always a great thing to do when you get that like stress headache if you're like, oh shit, I just emailed like 500 people. Again, hopefully you're sending out personal emails, but of course we all need to BCC every once in a while, and like you're gonna fuck that up at some point. It's gonna be okay. You know, BCC, speaking of BCC, you know, when you are emailing to a large group, always BCC. You know, I do not believe that kind of press contacts are something to be hoarded. But at the same time, you don't want to let, you know, every single person know that you are emailing every single person you have ever met all at the same time. But when somebody accidentally doesn't BCC, sometimes I save those email addresses. I don't add them to my newsletter. I don't. Jack's laughing at me. I don't add them to my newsletter because that is illegal. But they're good to have. Sometimes you want to send a little personal note and you may not have that email otherwise. So whatever. I never said that. Never trust autocorrect. Double check all of your links. And again, just don't be a spammer. So wave the press flag kind of for major announcements and releases. And you, again, you have all of these other channels. You have your Instagram, you have your Facebook, you have your Twitter, you have all of the other things. You can use those for all of like your small day-to-day things, like really kind of save this press outreach because it is a lift, right? Like save this lift for when you really, really need to make it and save the rest for telling people in person. So that's, guys, that's it. That's the A Creative DC Field Guide to getting the word out. So again, you just, it's all about just figuring out where to start, figuring out who to send it to, make it appealing, manage your expectations, and then just be cool with it and move on to the next. That's it. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today. This was like a fun little situation. Yay. Yay. Thanks, Jack. Again, shout out to Kim Bryden on the tidbit. She totally, her mini-sodes totally inspired this little foray into the A Creative DC Field Guide. But I'm really excited to kind of start bringing a few more elements of A Creative DC as a resource and as an online resource, as opposed to just strictly social and new media. So guys, I'm Morgan West. I'm founder, director of A Creative DC. Thank you all so much for listening in today. That's it. You can expect us every single week on Direct Message. We'll be back next Wednesday, live at 1 p.m. We are on fullserviceradio.org anytime. You can listen in there. We are on IG, Twitter, and Facebook at A Creative DC, online at acreativedc.com. This project wouldn't exist without perspective outside of our own, and we're so grateful to Full Service Radio that we can take these weekly dives into the A Creative DC hashtag feed. You can follow along with Full Service at fullserviceradio.org, at Full Service Radio on Instagram, and at Full Service RDO on Twitter. Till next week, I'm Morgan West, and this has been Direct Message with A Creative DC.